Let's go ahead and open in prayer. We're going to continue our study on 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. So you can get your Bibles and you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today. We're going to be going through chapters 8 and 9. And we're going to be talking about gospel-motivated giving. Gospel-motivated giving. And you know what? Christians should be motivated to give. Amen? And as we do, the Scripture gives promise that we'll also reap. And so let's pray. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would be with us here this morning. As we go through the lesson today, I do pray in Jesus' name that you would enlighten us, Lord, that you would open our eyes and that you'd inspire us to understand your word today, especially, Lord, what the Apostle Paul was bringing out to the Corinthians during this time. I pray that, Lord, you would use the lesson to inspire us to do the same as these in Corinth were doing. And we ask that most of all, that, Lord, whatever we do, however we do it, we would always do it as unto you. Lord, you are our reason. You are why we do what we do. And so we pray that Jesus Christ alone would be exalted in our midst today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Gospel-motivated giving. And so, as is obvious, our lesson today is going to be talking about giving. Of course, it's going to be talking about giving of our talents, of our time. It includes those particular things and dynamics. But more importantly, today it's going to be talking about our financial giving as well. Now, what I don't want us to get into our minds is that the church is just always asking for money. Now, I'm not talking about our church here in Center. I don't think we really press too hard, nor do we try to get at your pocketbooks per se. Lord willing, our encouragement to you is one that is where we desire to give, not feel like we have to give. Amen? Where we give because we know that God wants us to give and God will bless us in return. But our lesson today is definitely about giving, but it should be gospel motivated, and it should be all about the kingdom of God. And so our key thought today is this, our central truth, is that God gives to us so that we might give to those in need. And I'm here to tell you, God has blessed us. Amen? Every one of us in this room has been blessed. And God has given to us so that we can also be a blessing. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing to be a blessing, to be able to be those that are used of God, to be a blessing to individuals, to the ministry, and what have you. But God does give to us so that we might give to those in need. And when God has blessed us bountifully, we should be those that also give bountifully. Amen? And I'm going to be honest with you, the more that you give, the more that you'll have to give. The less that we give, the less that we're going to be able to give. It's just that simple. There's a law. It's a spiritual law that goes into effect. And it's the law of sowing and reaping. If we sow a little, we reap a little. It's that simple. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You know, it's amazing. We're now in the springtime. Some of our people are working with the seeds, right, and all the seeding right now. They go and they cut those potatoes and they make the seed to get them planted. Isn't that right? They plug them in the ground and that one tiny seed, if it's a potato or if it's a corn seed or whatever kind of seed, it's just one, isn't it? Pumpkin seed, Sister Dorothy says back there. You put one of those seeds in there, does just one pumpkin come out of the ground after you plant it? Does one potato grow in the ground? No, it's always on the increase. Isn't that right? So if you're sowing bountifully, your harvest is going to be greater. Think about it. And that's the way it is with our giving. Our giving must always be motivated with the desire to be a blessing, to be a cheerful giver as unto the Lord. Amen. That's the way our giving should be. It should never be that we feel forced to give or someone's just trying to pull the money out of our pockets. God forbid. But when our giving is motivated properly, the Bible gives the promise that there will be an increase. Praise the Lord. Now, I've heard it said this way, and I think it's true. We don't give to get. If our motive is to give just to get back only, then we're missing the mark. Amen? We give because the Lord has placed it upon our hearts, and we give cheerfully, and we will get in return. But we don't give to get only. Amen? However, when you give, you will get. You will understand that. We don't give to get, but when we give with the right motivation, we will get. Praise the Lord. The golden text today is this, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Does somebody want to read that verse? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7.
Each of you shall give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
God loves a cheerful giver. But I love how it says, and Paul is very clear here in regards to our giving. He says it like that, first in the King James, every man according as he purposes in his heart. Whatever you have planned to give to the Lord, that you give. Amen? Whatever God has put in our hearts to give, that is what you should give. But then it says, so let him give it, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The New International Version says it this way, you give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, as Brother Jaime's version said, not with reluctance, with regret, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We don't give because the pastor makes you feel horrible if you don't. Amen? Don't give. If you're feeling bad about it, don't do it. God is looking at the motive of the heart. If God has put it on your heart to give 5 cents, with all of your heart you give those 5 cents. Amen? If God puts it on your heart to give 1,000, with all of your heart you give 1,000. If he puts it on your heart to give 100, whatever. You all hear what I'm saying. I remember one time I was helping a minister, an evangelist friend. It was back in the 90s. I was helping him with the praise and worship. And I remember one time when they were raising the offering for this particular evangelist, I remember they said, you know what? I want you to put away all your $1 bills and $5 bills and only give your 10s and your 20s. And I thought, whoa, that's not right there. If you give a dollar and that's what God has placed on your heart, that's what you've purposed to give, you give that dollar with all of your heart. Amen. Sometimes that dollar is, as far as we're concerned, because we don't have a lot, that dollar can be, as far as value is concerned, like $100 you put in that offering plate. God notices the heart. Remember that lady. It's right before the accounts of the Olivet Discourse, before Jesus begins to tell him about the end of the age in Matthew 24 or Mark 13, Luke 21. Right before the account of the end of the world and the destruction of the temple and all these things, Jesus was there at the temple and he took notice of an old lady. You all remember this old lady? She comes and throws in her little mite. It's a small amount of money. It's less than our penny in value. And that little old lady went in and threw that into the offering plate. And he turns to his disciples and he says, that woman has thrown in more than all of the rest. For she gave out of her need. She gave all that she had. But then the others were giving out of their abundance. And Jesus took notice and said, she's given more than everyone. And so whatever we have purposed in our hearts to give, and God has laid it on your heart to give, you give that with all of your heart. Don't regret what you gave. Don't feel bad if it's not as much as so-and-so. Don't feel bad if it seems like it's going to hurt you when you give it. Sometimes God wants us to give sacrificially. Sometimes it seems like it might hurt our bank account a little bit. Amen? But if you're obedient to God, God is going to bless you in return. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so gospel-motivated giving is about being generous in our giving, but being generous in our giving to the Lord. Amen. And as we do, God is going to return that, and he's going to give it, as the scripture says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. I think I mentioned the other day, I was thinking about that. Why does it say pressed down, shaken together, and running over? And I was thinking about it one day, and you know when you get a cup of flour, And sometimes, you ever seen some recipe say a cup of flour, but some say packed and some says unpacked? You ever seen that? One time I was making cookies one time and I was packing my flour, so I was pressing it in, so my cookies were coming out all hard and floury because I wasn't supposed to pack it. But when you pack it and press it in, it means there's more that you could fit into the cup. That means God's going to give it back to you pressed down. There's going to be more shaken together and running over. If you have a cup and it's running over, that means it's over full. And we serve a God that over answers our prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Gospel motivated giving. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as we begin our study today, I want to give a quick backdrop. Titus has just returned to Paul. And Titus has given a report to Paul and has said that the church in Corinth is doing well. And as a pastor, I'm sure Paul, he was the founder of the Corinthian church, hearing the news from Titus that the Corinthians were doing well, I'm sure helped him to feel good on the inside. The church there in Corinth is doing well. That's the heart of a pastor. Amen? Those in Corinth, about a year earlier, had promised to give an offering to those that were in need. A year ago, they had talked about raising an offering, and now a year has passed, and so Paul is checking on how they're doing. Titus has said they're doing well, and so Paul is encouraged. Paul, prior to that, had written a pretty tough letter to the Corinthians because they had some issues to deal with. Paul, being a godly minister, like he was, dealt with the problems, and one of those letters was pretty tough. And so now, hearing from Titus that the Corinthians are doing okay, he's glad to hear they're doing all right, but he also knows they had promised a year ago to give to those that were poor in Jerusalem. And so now Paul wants to check on their giving. Amen? Are they going to give as they had promised? And he doesn't want to end up boasting about their giving, and then lo and behold, they don't give. And so Paul is now about to get a collection plate. He's about to give it to those in Corinth to see if they're going to give as they promise. But let me ask you this before we move on. What are some examples of times when you have been asked to do something you did not want to do? Have you ever been asked to do something you don't want to do? How does that make you feel?
Uncomfortable?
Are you mad? Are you quick to do it? No, I mean, usually you fight that more than anything, do you? Somebody's telling you to do something you don't want to do. And when we think about that, there's always, and if you ended up doing it because you don't want to do it grudgingly, don't you? You don't want to do it, so you do it. You ever had someone, you ask them to go and help sweep the floor and they don't want to do it? But they know they have to do it, but they don't want to do it. So they do it grudgingly, don't they? So when they're sweeping, instead of sweeping gently, they're sweeping all hard, so the dirt's just flying everywhere anyways. It's harder to get it done, isn't it? It ends up more messy sometimes. In many ways, Paul is about to tell the Corinthians to remember the promise of giving. But he does not want them to give grudgingly. He wants them to give with the right heart, the right motivation. Amen? Let me tell you something, like I said earlier. When the offering plate comes to you, and we're taking up an offering for church or for a missionary that's passing through, you give willfully, amen, willingly, whatever it is that God puts on your heart, not grudgingly. Amen? If it's a grudge to give the five, don't give the five. Amen? Just give what is you appropriate to give at that moment. Give with a cheerful heart. And so let's move forward in this. We must always give with a sense of joy, compassion, and a love for God. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7, where we must first of all follow through on our promise, and we must excel in the grace of giving. I've heard some say that they want to give, that they've said, I want to give more than my tithes. Some have said, I want to give 20% tithes. And they do, and they find that God's blessed them even more so. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. Did you hear that? I'm not telling you to do that. You do what you've purposed in your heart. If you give your tithe, you give your tenth, and you give it with all of your heart. But some, in their giving, they want to be such givers that they want to give more. I know a minister, of all his income, he says, I want to give my tithe. I want to give 40% of my income. So my tithe is 10, and 40% more to missions. And they're living off 50%. Imagine that. Is it possible? Well, not for everyone, but as God blesses you, it can become possible. Amen. But the motivation needs to be appropriate. God forbid that we're giving with the wrong kind of attitude. That's not what we want. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Excel in the grace of giving. I'll read this section, and it says this. Moreover, brothers, now remember, this is Paul. Now keep in mind that he has just had a pretty interesting situation there in the Corinthian church. He's just heard that they're doing well. He had wrote a pretty tough letter, and he hears that they repented in a godly way, and so he's happy about that. Titus has said they're doing okay, and so he says, Moreover, brothers, we want you to experience the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty overflowed toward the riches of their generous giving. For I bear record that according to their means and beyond their means, they gave freely, begging us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This they did not as we expected. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this gracious deed for you. But as you abound in everything, and in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And so what we need to understand here is that Paul is bringing out an interesting scenario from those in Macedonia. Corinth is not in Macedonia. Paul is coming from Macedonia, and there has been word that those in Macedonia have given to the work of God. And they have given to the work of God in overabundance. And it's amazing. Because when you begin to see how these Macedonians were faring during this time, you see that these Macedonians weren't necessarily rich. They were actually going through some pretty difficult times, and yet in the midst of what they were going through, they were still willing to give, and they gave even more than what was expected. And it says this in verse 3. Look what it says. For I bear record that according to their means and beyond their means, they freely gave, begging us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. There was a need in Jerusalem, a need to those churches in Judea. They were experiencing a very difficult time. There was a famine that was affecting the area of Judea. The crops weren't growing like they normally would. They were experiencing a time of drought. There was even a civil war that had occurred, and so in a time of war, there's not as much. And so the people there in Jerusalem and there in the land of Judea were struggling. But here you have these Macedonians who were also struggling. They didn't necessarily have a lot, but what they gave with all of their hearts. And the scripture says that they freely gave, not only from their means, but even beyond their means. That means that they even gave sacrificially. And Paul is really boasting on the giving of the Macedonians to the Corinthians. He's telling them of how much they've given. Look, it says that they did this not as we expected. Look at verse 5. And it says, this they did not as we expected. First, they gave of themselves to the Lord. So they gave of their time. They gave of their abilities. They helped in the work of the Lord. But then it says, and then they gave to us by the will of God. So then he urged Titus that as he had begun, that he would also extend this gracious deed to you. In the same way that those in Macedonia were giving, and Paul knew that their giving would turn around to be their blessing, Paul says, I wanted to extend the same grace to you in Corinth. He wanted the church in Corinth to be blessed. He wanted them to receive the same blessing the Macedonians were going to receive for their giving. And so he wants to give them the opportunity to give, even as they promised about a year earlier. But he says, but as you abound in everything, God has given all of us the ability, and when we think about ourselves, God is the one that has given us the abundance that we have. Amen?
Amen?
Whatever abundance we do have, thank God for it. We must understand that that has been given by the hand of God to us. Now, yes, we've done our part. We've been faithful. We've been responsible. We're faithful on the job. But it's God that has given the increase. Amen?
Amen.
God will advance you. God will increase your pay. God will give you raises as you give to Him. Did you hear what I just said? God will increase your income the more that you give. I believe it with all of my heart. And so as they were giving, Paul is saying, look, I want you guys to reap the same blessing the Macedonians are. And I want you to give, like he said there, in your love to us. And he says, see that you abound in this grace as well. Abound in your giving. Don't stop or limit what God can do now. What's interesting is that Paul made three observations about the generosity of the Macedonians. Number one is that they gave as much as they were able. They didn't go beyond. Listen, if you're going to go into debt for your giving, then don't give it. Did you hear what I just said? If you're going to go into debt for your giving, then don't give it. You give with what's within your means. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Some preacher says, give that $100 bill in your pocket, but that $100 bill was in your pocket to be able to take your family out to eat. Amen?
Chili's.
Now you have to go to McDonald's, Brother Pedro says. Hey, maybe so, right? Maybe you plan for Chili's, but the kids won't mind going to McDonald's, right? Say God put it up upon your heart to give $80 of the 100. Well, then you give it. Amen? But don't give beyond your means. Amen? Don't give beyond your means. Listen to this. Now, you may think this is funny, but listen to this. This is wisdom here. If you are in debt, you have credit card bills, you have a mortgage payment, you have a car payment, and you have no way of giving, then don't give. But exactly. Don't stop giving your tithe. Always give your tithe. That is your first bill. The rest of the stuff comes second place. Always give your tithes. That's a non-issue. Amen? But if you can't afford to give an offering, then don't do it. Pray, God, give me the ability to pay off all of this debt and give me wisdom with my finances. Amen. Anybody heard of the 80-20 rule? It's God's money. Sister Louise, you're right. It's all God's money. The 80-20 rule, 10% to the church. Right? Your tithes. 10% for yourself. And 80% to live on. Did you hear that? 10% your tithe. 10% for yourself. Put it in a bank account. Put it in a savings. Act like it's not there. Put it in there. And 80% to live on. It's a simple rule. Amen. Whatever you don't spend of the 80%, put it in the bank. Don't be a consumer. Don't be a consumer. What's a consumer, Pastor? We've all fallen into the trap. We walk into the store and we see the sale. We're like, oh, I have to have it now. I'm going to die if I don't have it now. So then you go and spend the money that you didn't have to spend and now you don't have any money. And that's what all of the commercials on TV, all the sale prices when you walk into the store, it's after the consumer. They make you feel like if you don't buy it now, you can't live. And then you end up in trouble. It's consumerism. That's what that is. Don't fall into the trap. Amen? Yeah. Well, I better do it now because then, and then all of a sudden you're in over your head with debt and all kinds of stuff. Be careful. God, give us wisdom with how we use our money. Amen? I knew a gentleman there in Pennsylvania. He always bought his cars cash. Now, I'm not talking disparagingly for those of us that have a car payment. I have a car payment, so I'm not talking about anyone that has a car payment, right? You guys know what I mean? I'm not talking about that. God will give you the means to pay your payments. Now, I'm not talking about that, but there was a guy in Pennsylvania that I knew, and he told me, I bought all my cars cash. And I said, well, how'd you do that? He says, well, I was buying my cars before I bought them. He was making his monthly payment for his car by putting it in the bank every month. And then when he had the money, he went and got that brand new car cash. Amen. Now, I'm not talking, sometimes we have to buy something and we get our monthly payment. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. But be careful that you don't fall into the trap of debt, the monkey on the back. It's horrible. Amen? But what you do is, when you pay your monthly payments, whatever payments you have, pray to God that you have the ability to overpay your payments. Don't ever pay just the minimum. Now, if it's a hard month, pay the minimum. But if you can get away with it, pay double if you can. Amen? As much as you can, pray that God will help you to do that. Anyways, let's get back into this. The Corinthians, they gave as much that they were able. Secondly, what Paul was bringing out was that they gave voluntarily. They even said to Paul, please include us in the offering. We want to give you an offering. But we must give voluntarily. Don't ever, if you feel coerced or you feel like someone's making you give and you feel horrible if you don't, then don't do it. Don't do it. It should always come from a cheerful heart. Amen? Give voluntarily. Don't. If you ever feel like you're giving involuntarily, that means like someone feels like they're forcing it out of you, then don't do it. Amen? If I ever make you feel that way, don't do it. You do what's within your means and you give voluntarily. Thirdly, is that not only had they given of their financial means, they also had given of themselves. And you see, whenever we're dedicated to God and to His service with all of our hearts, it's going to be a lot easier to give of our finances. Amen? Mm-hmm. When God has our hearts, the money will not have our hearts. Praise the Lord. But the Corinthians had promised to give, and so let's see the next part, verses 8 through 15, where we've got to be motivated by sincere love. Our motivation needs to be with sincere love. Look at verses 8 through 15. Somebody want to read those verses?
I say this not by way of command, but to test the genuineness of your love by your concern for others. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And I am giving counsel to this matter, in this matter, for it is appropriate for you who began not only to act, but to act willingly last year. Complete it now, so that your eager willingness may be matched by your completion of it out of what you have. For if the eagerness is there, it is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equity, your surplus at the present time should supply their needs, so that by their surplus may also supply your needs, and that there may be equity. As it is written, whoever has much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less.
Now, Paul is dealing with the issue of giving, isn't he? And what he begins to say very first is, look, I'm not giving you, nor am I commanding you to do this. He begins to tell them, look, I'm not forcing you to do this. Look at it right there in verse 8. He says, I say this not as a command, but to prove through the authenticity of others the sincerity also of love, of your love. Then he goes into Jesus, how Jesus was rich but became poor for our sakes. And how he became poor for us, he's made us all rich. Amen. Amen. Do you realize that in Christ Jesus, you are rich? Amen. You don't have to look at yourself as a poverty-stricken person anymore. You're rich in Jesus. Amen. The scripture says he's given everything that we need in Christ Jesus. But what he starts off with is that he begins to show them, look, I'm not commanding you. I'm not trying to force you to give right now. But rather, he wants them to perform what they were eager to do a year ago. As Brother Gary read in that portion, they were willingly wanting to give a year ago, and so he wants them to perform it. They did not just be lip service. Oh, I want to give to those that are suffering. I want to give to the poor. But he wants to make sure that their words and their eagerness is now shown in the performance, but within their means. Now you'll notice Paul keeps on putting it within what they have. He's not trying to make them go into debt per se, but to give out of what they do have, but to give it willingly. Verse 10 says, not only last year to give, but also to give, to willingly give. I keep on can't talk this morning. You guys all right? But it says, but also to willingly give. And so he wants them to complete the task of giving, what they had promised a year ago, but he wants to make sure that they give. Now, it's interesting that he begins to say, look, he wants, in their giving, they're going to provide for the relief of others in their increase, but it'll turn around for their benefit later. Amen? Listen, there's a reality to what goes around comes around. Amen? If you're a giver, you will be given too. And it's just that true. It's just going to be that way. And so Paul continues on as he's talking about giving. And we want to get to chapter 9 for sure. But we must generously serve God's people. And so Paul will bring out how he sent three individuals to go and minister to the Corinthians. But look, he wants them also to minister to those that come into Corinth. Look at verses 16 through 24. It says, but thanks be to God, who placed the same sincere care in the heart of Titus. There's the first individual. The same care of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more zealous, he went to you with it of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not only that, but he was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which we administer to the glory of the same Lord, and to declare your willing mind, to prevent any man from blaming us in administering this abundant gift, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now notice Titus is there to help in the taking up of this offering. There's also another man that has been sent by the church to be there in the acquiring of this offering. And look at this, is so that there would be honesty in the taking up of this offering. There must always be accountability. Amen. Whenever an offering is taken up, it must be done honestly. Nothing under the table, nothing to cover up, nothing hidden. And so there's a man to help keep everyone accountable. It says to prevent any man from blaming us in the administering of this gift, it says in verse 20. And so this other unnamed gentleman is there to help them as they're collecting this offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. You all see that? Accountability. There's nothing wrong with that. Furthermore, verse 22, it says, we have sent with them our brother, another guy, whom we have frequently proved diligent in many things, but now is much more diligent due to the great confidence which he has in you. If any man or if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or if our brothers are inquired about, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Therefore, show them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Paul is saying, I want you to be welcoming of these individuals. Treat them with love. Treat them with loving kindness. Treat them like a Christian should treat another person. Amen? And so Paul, in essence, is just bringing out how that they should serve God's people. But these people are also sent along with Titus in the acquiring of this monetary gift for those in Jerusalem. They're there for accountability and for the fact that they're not going to do anything underhanded. That's why even in modern church, there must always be accountability. Amen? Any one of you could ask any one of us, where is our money going? And we should be able to show you without any fear that this is where it is and this is what it's being used for, so on and so forth. Amen? We should never do anything underhanded. And Paul definitely doesn't want this to happen there. And so let's now move into chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians and look at this. We must always be ready to give. Amen? Be ready to give. There's nothing wrong during the week that we plan in our hearts and our minds, this Sunday, I have my tithe to give to the church, and this is what I want to give in addition to my tithe. Amen? Whatever it may be. A little, a lot, whatever God, you've purposed in your heart, be willing to give it. I want to give $30 to missions. I want to give $100 to the building fund. I want to give another $100 just to give towards whatever the church needs. Amen. I mean, whatever God puts on your heart, you'd be willing to give, but there's everything right in planning. Amen. But be ready to give. Come to church ready to give. Go whenever there's a special speaker, be ready to give. Amen. Be ready to give. Look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Somebody want to read that? Be ready to give.
There is no need for me to write this to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since the last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has steered most of them to action.
To fight.
But I am sending the brothers in order to our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one gradually given.
Now think about what Paul is saying here. Let me just kind of paint the picture for you. Paul is sending Titus and these two individuals, three men in total, to come and get this offering. The Corinthians, a year past, with enthusiasm, are saying, we want to give to these poor saints in Jerusalem. And they're so excited about giving, Paul has begun telling other churches about their enthusiasm. He talks to those in Macedonia, and he says, you know what, those people in Corinth, they're ready to raise an offering for those in Jerusalem, and he's boasting on them. He's saying these in Corinth, they want to give. And he's telling them how much of a giving church that church in Corinth is. Anything wrong with that? And so he's saying, look, I've been telling others about your generosity and how much you want to give. But I'm sending these three individuals and this letter, mind you, to prepare you for the offering. I want you to realize that I'm sending three guys that are going to come and take an offering from you. But I want you to be prepared to give. And I want you to be prepared to give so that when you do give, it'll be a gift that has been prepared and it's a gift that is coming out of your hearts, and so that it is not given grudgingly. You see, if they're prepared to give, when the offering is taken, they're giving from what they've prepared to give. They've already purposed in their hearts, I'm going to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem such and such an amount. So when the offering plate is given, when those three men come, they give that amount, and they're not giving like, oh, I forgot and I have to give. Oh, I don't even have money. Oh, I don't even want, I can't even give. Oh, but I better give because I said I was going to give, right? So then they give it and they give it grudgingly. No. Paul is saying, no, I'm going to write a letter to you so that you can be prepared to give when they come. I've been boasting on you, you know. I remember last time when I was with you, you were willing to give. You were excited to give. And I've been telling everyone about your excitement to give. But let me just let you know in advance so that when the offering plate comes, you give willingly. Amen? Not of greed. Not of a grudge. You see, sometimes we don't prepare, but there's everything right in being prepared to give. Amen? Amen. Now, sometimes the church can be definitely given the stigma that churches just always want people's money. And we do take up offerings. We do say to give your tithe, but that's not from us. That's from the Lord. Amen? Amen. The Lord has said, prove me and see if I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you when you give the tithes. He says, if we don't give our tithes, we're robbing God. That's the scripture. That's not the pastor. Amen. But the scripture also says, as we give, God is going to give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. And so if there is not the opportunity to give, then there is the robbing of your blessing. Because if you don't give, then you're in a sense being robbed of that blessing because we're not making the needs known. Amen. And so sometimes that stigma can be there, and sometimes it can be overdone. Please, we don't want to do that here. But on the other hand, we must understand that God wants us to be generous. Amen. He does want us to be a generous people. Not giving with a grudge, not giving because we haven't planned to give. But when we give, we should give because we're ready to give with all of our hearts. Amen. But now let's move forward to this next part. I didn't want to miss this part. We must give with contentment. Look at chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. Chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. Somebody want to read those verses here. And notice Paul's imagery as he uses the imagery of a farmer and their sowing and reaping. Chapter 9, 6 through 9.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever.
This portion of scripture brings out one of those spiritual laws. It's not going to change. The law of gravity, you throw something up, it comes down. That law will always work. Amen. It's such a firm law that science is dependent on the true reality of these laws. There's laws in nature, but there's also spiritual laws. One of those spiritual laws is the law of sowing and reaping. And Paul says in verse 6, he says, I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is a law, a spiritual law in regards to giving. Now, if anything, a farmer, those especially, we see what's going on in the land all around us right now. When we drive to center, man, we see those fields being churned up and getting ready for seed and planting the seed and waiting for an increase. The farmer understands that generous sowing is the only means to generous reaping. You can't reap generously if you're not sowing generously. It's just that simple. But the same thing shows that the sower, listen to this, the one that does the sowing, the sower is free to sow as much or as little as is desired. So the sower has the ability to choose how much he sows. Amen? But in the same amount that they sow, they will reap. And so the individuality is all left intact. The free will is intact. But the scripture brings out clearly, if we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. It's an amazing thing how that you, even in your need, you still pay your tithes. How that God is able to make every need met as you're giving your tithe. It's an amazing thing. Amen. I've seen it. I've heard testimonies. Amen. There's a young man that was telling me a story the other day. How that he was learning about giving the tithe. He said, I'm going to give my tithe. But then in giving his tithe, he didn't even have enough money for gas for the week. And so he said, I'm going to give my tithe. And when he gave the tithe, the gas just lasted all week. He said, when it should have run out by Tuesday, I still had gas through Friday. God will be faithful to you. Amen. Amen. I was encouraged when I heard that testimony. Amen. When you give, because God has put on your hearts. Brother Haim has shared his testimonies. How God met them. Had a desire to go to a concert. Got tickets. You all remember that testimony you shared? I remember that one. But God will provide for you. As you're faithful in what he's asked you and asked me to do. Now there's responsibility in all of this to consider our heart in how we give. It says, let every man give, verse 7, according to the purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God sees the heart of our giving. Amen? And when you give with the right motivation and the right heart, God sees that, and that's what he wants. Amen? He doesn't want us to give because with regret. He doesn't want us to give with the attitude of, oh no, I can't. No, he doesn't want to make you feel like you can't. He wants to meet you and bless you for what you have given with your heart. Amen. God wants to not only minister to our temporal blessings, he also wants to provide for our spiritual blessings. Look what it says there. It says that I will supply that. Look, verse 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always have enough of everything. God wants you to have enough of everything. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That means enough food. Amen. God wants you to have enough food on your table. God wants you to have enough clothes on your back. God even wants you to have enough of those desires on your heart so that you can enjoy it. Amen. God wants to provide everything. It says that you'll always have enough of everything and that it may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. He wants us to remember the poor. That's one of the commands that he's given the church, to remember the poor. But we must also be generous in our sowing, because as we are generous in our giving, it doesn't matter the size of the gift, but as you give generously, God is going to provide for you and he's going to meet you with everything that you have. Amen? And so thank God for that. And so Paul closes it out with overflowing thanksgiving in verses 10 through 15. Overflowing thanksgiving as a result. You know, God wants to give us, provide for us in such a way that we will turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me enough to pay double my car payment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to pay all my bills and I still have more to go and get myself a hamburger. Amen. But I still have enough more that I could go and get that thing I needed or even forget that you didn't need it. That you left enough that I can go get what I wanted. Right? There's a big difference between a need and a want, right? You don't need to go to Dairy Queen and get that dip cone. But you definitely want to go to Dairy Queen and get it, right? And God wants to supply for you in such a way that you even have enough to get those things that you desire. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of God that we serve. Look at verses 10 through 15. Overflowing thanksgiving. It says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and supplies bread for your food will also multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So you will be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which makes us give thanks to God." God wants to give to you in such a way that you're able to give praises to God in righteousness, in finances, in blessings in our life. It says, gives you food. It says he's the one that supplies the seed that we sow anyways. So he wants to give us more seed to sow. Praise the Lord. And it says he also is the one that supplies the bread for food. He wants to multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, so that you will be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which makes us give thanks to God. Praise the Lord. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but is abundant also through many thanksgivings to God. Meanwhile, through the performance of this ministry, they glorify God for the profession of your faith in the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and with all others. And in their prayer for you, they long for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Not only does God want to make you say, "Thank you, Lord, for your giving," but through your liberality, for your generous giving to missions, to those in need, however it is, your liberality becomes a blessing to someone else and gives them the ability to say thank you to God. And they turn around and thank God for you. Amen? Because you have been a blessing to them. And so when we think about it, we must understand that God wants us to bear fruit for his name. He wants us to be blessed. He wants your and my life to be a testimony to the blessing of God. So when people look at you, they see, look, that's a blessed person, and that's how I can be. Amen? You know, sometimes we can look at Christianity as a dull, boring, lifeless existence. That is not real Christianity. Real Christianity is a relationship with God Almighty that's ever growing and increasing, that we are giving and we're being blessed, so that whenever that person looks at our life, they see the blessing of God in us. And they say, "I want what she has. I want what he has." Amen. Does anybody have a testimony that they would like to share on giving?
Months ago, probably last year, and it just hit me because you said something about God's people should not, I don't remember the true words you said, but it was something about not be poor, it wasn't exactly those words, but not to be without, and we were struggling through things.
Yeah.
And it was like, why we struggle through finances sometimes is our fault. And I don't know why, just those few words you said just hit me. And it's not that we see how we are in our walk with God, but we see what we give, not only to the church, but to of ourselves to others. And I looked at giving as a in different ways, not just finances and monetary things, but in what I have of myself.
Yeah.
And also including my family and making them also understand. But ever since that time, it's been a whole different blessing for us. We've been blessed abundantly. We did things that were hard to do, but we did it with faith to God, knowing that he would provide and that he would bless us, and he did.
Amen. God blesses our obedience to him, doesn't he? Sometimes we can look over our giving history in a way, and sometimes we can see where we have slacked. But then the Lord begins to put on our hearts to increase or to change our amount or to continue doing more. And then God begins to respond with blessing, doesn't he? Sometimes we have lulls. We go through seasons, don't we? But thank God for his faithfulness to get us steered back into the right direction so that we can also be blessed. God wants to bless you.
Amen. I have one with our children, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If an angel was going to school in San Diego, I mean, by us giving, I mean, there was a way for her to finish school because that money had to be, it was a deadline every, so often we had to send money, and that money was there to provide for her schooling. And she graduated, of course, and even now that she's going to UNC, the Lord is blessing her. And we see that with Isaiah. I mean, Isaiah didn't want to go to college because he didn't want to be in debt.
Yeah.
But because Carlos and I have been faithful, not only in our giving, but with our time, the Lord has blessed Isaiah with the full ride scholarship for 4 years to Western State. So
yeah, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's even in response to our giving, isn't it? I mean, a full ride scholarship, that's a big deal. But God even supplies in different ways than we don't expect. Amen? Through our giving. So bountifully. I encourage you to give what you can and give with all of your heart. Bountifully. Amen? Unto the Lord. And God is going to cause you to reap bountifully. And he wants your life to be a testimony. He wants to provide for you. He wants you to have. Amen? He wants you to be blessed. But first he wants your heart. So that when you are blessed, those things don't take your heart from him. But rather, when you have those things, you turn around and say, thank you, Lord. It's all from you. I give you thanks. Amen? And that's a testimony to the world and those around us. Amen? It's a law. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. If you sow a little, you get a little. But if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Amen? When you plant your gardens, you don't want a little supply. You want to get a nice harvest. So you plant plenty of seed. Amen? And yet it's God that provides the seed to sow. Lord, I need more seed. There's nothing wrong with praying like that. Lord, I need more seed so that I can sow it. There's a gentleman that I know. I've never seen anyone give like this man. I mean, he's a giver. I mean, he's a giver, and I have never seen this man suffer any lack or need in his life. Did you hear what I just said? I mean, this person, when my wife and I got married, we didn't even have a car. This person said, well, here's my car. He didn't even have another car to drive around in. And he gave us his car. I stayed like, whoa. Now that's a giver, and that person has faith, and God provided for them, and they had another car immediately. As you give, God is going to give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't outgive God. If you don't have seed to sow, pray, God, give me some seed to sow. If that means, God, I need more money, God will give you more money. And he'll also give it to you to test you and see, are you really going to do what you said? Amen? But as you begin to sow it, you begin to sow, God is going to give it back to you. Amen? It's a promise. God said it. It's not a plug to get more money in our church. Did you hear that? It's not about that. It's not about that at all. But as you do it, you are going to be blessed. Amen? Amen. Sister Louise.
God is an honest person.
Yes, he is.
And when he promises to do something, he'll do it.
That's right.
So we don't have to squirm or wonder if we're going to get it or not.
Yep.
7 years ago, of course, I was raised in to believe in springtime and harvest.
Springtime and harvest.
Sowing and reaping.
And
it's been about 20 years ago now or more. He started advertising those Dodge Rams for sale. But we didn't need a pickup. We had a car and all that we needed. But I thought, man, those Dodge Rams are good looking vehicles. I'd like to have one.
With some nice trucks, yeah.
Yeah. And I like pickup trucks anyway.
Yeah.
And So I started praying about it, and then I started giving seed time. And I'd given, I'd marked one of what it was for seed time for the pickup.
Yeah.
And Emory and I looked at several own lots. I didn't want a new one because the minute you drive it, you lot to lose $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just wanted a good used one.
Good used one, yeah.
We didn't need a new one anyway. And so I started praying about it, and we looked at several own lots, and they were great looking pickups, and but they just didn't hit the spot.
Yeah.
And one day, excuse me, one day we was eating lunch down in Fort Worth, Chuka,
mm-hmm.
at the Army base down there, and we looked over on the bulletin board, and it says a picture of a pickup for sale.
Yeah.
So after we got to the meeting, we went over and looked at it, and called the sergeant and made us to look at it, and it was a little over a year old, still under warranty. But he needed to sell it. He'd just been transferred.
Yeah.
And he needed the money. And so we drove it. The minute I got into that pickup, I knew it was mine.
Yeah.
It just felt good. So we bought it, and I drove that pickup for nearly 18 years. Not one thing ever happened to it except buying a battery and new mm-hmm. tires, which mm-hmm. of course wear out.
Yeah.
But it was a perfect pickup. I just sold it to my youngest son. He wanted it.
Yeah.
But I just thank the Lord that he gave me that good pickup.
That's right.
Because it was, like I said, still under warranty, almost new.
Yeah.
And got it at a good price, and the Lord, I said he saved it for me.
Yep, he saved it for you. God answered the desire of her heart. You all hear that? She sees those Dodge Ram pickups. Boy, those are nice trucks. I want one. And so she began to sow towards that truck. Lord, I know you're going to give me that truck. She prayed about it. Lord, that truck you will give me. Amen? And she began to sow into it. Like she said, she went to other car lots. Saw other ones, they just didn't hit what she wanted. She saw that little thing there in the restaurant, went and checked it out, and she sits in it, and she gets that confirmation from the Lord, this is the truck that I have for you. You've been sowing, now you're going to reap. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's a beautiful thing. God wants to answer your desires as well. Amen? He wants to give you what you want. And so you just let God have all of your heart. Let him be number one, and God will bless you. Amen? It says, seek the Lord with all of your heart. Amen? And there's another one where it says, how does it say? And he will give you the desires of your heart. Does anybody remember that verse? It's not seek the Lord with all of your heart. I'm saying it wrong.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God?
Not that one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. But there's one in the Old Testament, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Does anybody remember what the first part is? You don't remember? It doesn't matter. In essence, it's saying, God has your heart, and you seek him with all of your heart, and he has your heart, he will give you the desires of your heart as well. A desire is more than what you need. A desire is something that you just want to have. You want that kind of truck, right? And so God gave you the desire. Amen?
You just can't have a selfish desire.
Exactly. The selfish desire is, it's the right kind of desire. Amen? God wants to bless you.
Well, Pastor, read it the other way, the way it's written. It says he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean he will fulfill the desires. He will put the desire within you.
Yeah, that's true.
That puts you on the right path, and of course then it will be fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah. Do y'all understand what Brother Gary's saying? As we're with God, God begins to change our hearts that our desires are right in line with God's desires. Amen? And so he begins to put desires within our hearts for us to desire that God will fulfill, ultimately to bless you and to show the blessing of God in your life. And further the kingdom of God in and through you. Amen? To raise a testimony in and through your lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. So don't ever, ever be ashamed, or don't ever give grudgingly. You give with all of your heart, no matter where it is. Maybe you've not given a lot, and God's putting on your heart to give. You get on your knees and you pray to the Lord, and the Lord will direct your giving. Amen? He will direct your giving, whether it's to our church, towards missions, towards whatever. Amen? God sees the desire of your heart, and He will meet you right where you are. Amen? And so thank God for Paul adding those chapters 8 and 9 in 2 Corinthians. Amen? Where it does talk about our giving. And as we give cheerfully, we give with the right attitude and the right perspective, God is going to bless our giving. Amen? Brother Brad.
Is it wrong to give your tithes to the church? Because that's not wrong. But then turn around and give to another organization or another...
like another ministry or what have you.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
On top of the tithes?
No, there's no. You're going to be blessed for giving either way.
You don't have to keep it all into the church that you're in.
No, not necessarily. Now, we benefit from the tithe of our people, yes. And so if you give your tithes, I mean, it'd be preferable that you give it here, obviously, because we need to function as a church. But if you have on your heart to give to other ministries, you give with all of your heart. You know, whatever the need may be, you know, God wants to meet their needs as well through you. But as you give, you're going to be the one that will reap in response to your giving. So no, you don't have to only solely give to our church or to the Assemblies of God. You know, if you want to give towards other ministries like Teen Challenge or other missionaries that are outside of the Assemblies of God, that's okay. Amen. Wherever you God has put it on your heart, or wherever you have on your heart to give, you give willfully. And you give it with all of your heart that way, and God's going to bless you. Yeah.
Pastor,
amen.
My
yes.
father-in-law was, he was a faithful giver to his church, but he also gave to Jimmy Swagger.
Yeah.
And when he got sick, he made it a point to tell my sister-in-law, you continue giving to that ministry.
Yeah.
And like we were telling you, he was a very blessed man.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. You know, like say you like ministries, like Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and you have put on your heart to give $20 a month, $100 a month, whatever. You give that with all of your heart. Whatever that ministry is, 700 Club. 700 Club's a good ministry. You follow what I'm saying? Wherever you give with all of your heart. Amen? Don't neglect your church here in your giving. Give to your church here as well. Amen?
But Pastor, churches, like individuals, also tithe.
Yes.
So your dollar doesn't stay here in this building. Mm-hmm. It goes out.
It does.
It reaches out worldwide.
Yeah, it does. Definitely. So your giving here is by extension being extended in many different ways. And so praise the Lord for that. Sister Louise?
I've always been taught that your tithes goes to your church where you go.
Yes.
And then anything else you want to give extra goes above that.
Mm-hmm.
But God keeps track of all that.
He does. Yeah.
Where you give it and what you're doing with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he blesses us regardless.
That's right.
We're doing his will and doing what he wants us to.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He's a good accountant. He knows exactly where we're giving. Amen. He's the best, like Brother Pedro says. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the ability that you've given to us to give. And I pray that, Lord, you would make us to be cheerful givers, that we would be generous givers. And I pray that as we give or even begin to give, if we've not maybe been as diligent as we should, but you're putting it in our hearts to do so. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'd begin to open our eyes to see, Lord, the reaping, Lord, that will occur. That we would begin to see that we are being blessed, and it's as a result of our increased giving. That, Lord, we would begin to understand that, Lord, you're opening the windows of heaven. That, Lord, you're meeting us in ways that, Lord, we never thought you could. And, Lord, I pray that you'd show us that, Lord, it's as a result of our giving here or there. Lord, speak it clearly to our hearts so that we can also even appreciate, Lord, the value of sowing towards what you've put upon our hearts to sow into. And so be with us in our giving, we pray, and be with the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.